Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. You're listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We also focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So, on today's show, we will be discussing the phases of rebirth, featuring True God and our special guest host, Shira J from Sugar Free TV. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeens.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Also, check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. Again, that's facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. So, like us over there. All right. May's yoga pose of the month is the lotus position. The benefits of this position is that it calms the brain, stimulates the pelvis, the spine, the abdomen, and the bladder, stretches the ankles and knees, eases menstrual discomfort and sciatica, and also helps awaken the kundalini and helps make childbirth easier. So, you know, that's definitely a great position, so make sure you go check out all that information at conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com and get acquainted with us over there. All right, so let me just get into this weekly affirmation. This week's affirmation goes a little something like this. I am truly grateful for all the wonderful energy that has surrounded me. I feel at ease with my evolution process and am glad to be alive. I am determined, I am focused, and I am disciplined. Ashe. You can find more affirmations like this one on conversationswiththequeens.blogspot.com. All right. So without any further ado, let's bring on the co-host. P. Shira, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear? Am I?
Yep. Hear you.
Audible. Okay.
Yep. You're definitely audible. We can hear you. All right. And I'm going to bring on our guest for the night. P. Sugar, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. What's going on?
Nothing much. You're just chilling. How are you?
I'm really sick right now, actually.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, I just celebrated my birthday yesterday, and then woke up this morning. Yeah, and I woke up this morning.
Fellow Gemini
in
the house. That's what's up.
Yep.
Yeah, so happy belated birthday. Sorry, you hope you feel better. Yeah, all right. So let's get into this, and hopefully throughout the course of the show, you might start feeling a little bit better. All right. So for all the listeners who might not be familiar with who you are and what you do, let them know a little bit about you.
Well, I guess the first thing everybody asks is, like, where I'm from. I'm born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm currently the leader, CEO of the Team DAR movement, which DAR stands for a lot of different things. Mostly it stands for Dreams of Reality, or defining a revolution. I have some artists that are under me in my team. I also co-founder and co-host of a radio show, which is geared more towards like sports and wrestling. I do that as well. I got a couple of albums that are out. I also produce. I also do my own like videos and documentaries and things like that for my albums. I'm probably forgetting stuff. I also have a YouTube channel. There's so many, I usually tell everybody, if you want to get familiar with me, just check out everything, because I could talk about myself all day if I felt like it, but usually the art just speaks for itself. Okay. So I just tell everybody to check out all my art, and that'll basically let you know who I am.
Sounds good. So do you want to give out your YouTube channel so people can check out your art?
I'll give out all my stuff right now. All my links. I'm on Twitter at True Guard Immortal, which if you follow me, I'll give you a warning. I'd say outrageous stuff all the time on my Twitter, just because my YouTube is True Guard Tube TV. You can actually find my iTunes. It's itunes.com/TrueGuard. I also have a blog. It's TrueGuardImmortal.blogspot.com. I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting a link or two, but I'm sick, so my head is a little messed up right now.
I'm gonna excuse you. You get a pass for that one.
All right.
All right. So, What are some of the recent changes or transitions that you've experienced recently?
From a personal standpoint, I think I probably went through more transitions than I wanted to, more changes than I needed to. I became a father about 11 months ago, and I had my daughter. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I have my daughter. Her name is Zori, and she's about to be 11 months in 2 weeks. So that was the first biggest transition. And then, you know, after having a daughter, you have to make the transition to fatherhood, because it's not like, oh, you have a baby and you're automatically in fatherhood. You have to transition into that get your routines down and get everything together to fit around her schedule. Because you're not on your own pretty much anymore. So that was a transition for me. And then maybe a few months after that, I became pretty much like I won't say a single father, because I think that's an awkward term, especially if, you know, you're still co-parenting with the mother. But, you know, I was in a long-term relationship for almost 8 years, and it fell apart pretty much a few months after my daughter was born. So that's a huge transition. We're talking about years and years and years of time put into a relationship to make it work, and then to see everything kind of fall apart in the way it did fall apart. It's still a transition for me. I mean, technically it's really only been like a few months since it's like officially hit. So it's still a transition. Really weird situation. So, and luckily for me, I take every transition and change, regardless of whether it's good or bad, and I just put it into my music and my art. So everybody can find a way to understand it and relate to it a lot better when you listen to the music.
Definitely. So, like, what have these transitions or changes taught you about your life and your life purpose?
I know the changes as far as becoming a father. It's altered my idea, because I never initially ever wanted to be become a dad and become a father. Before I got into a relationship and before I kind of started to become more aware and more awakened mentally, there's a lot of psychological issues that you deal with kind of growing up without a father. And without having a father, I was like, I don't want to be a father. I was never close to my own, and I don't even want to, you know, go through that, because you sometimes wonder if you're going to be the same person that your father was, especially for dudes, especially for in the urban community. We tend, you know, and a lot of us don't talk about that. I think that's something that a lot of guys, like I said, in the urban community, we need to talk more, even amongst each other, amongst, you know, our community, is that a lot of the younger guys, especially younger guys who grew up without fathers, they're becoming fathers. And I know for a fact everything is mental, so there's a lot of issues that we all deal with about thinking, you know, like, if you don't have your life 100% together, or if you're not completely stable, you know, in certain areas, you tend to worry, and it stresses you out, and a lot of times you don't handle those situations the best way possible, which is where you get deadbeat dads and people running away because they don't know how to handle the responsibility. So when I found out that, you know, the mother of my child was pregnant, I automatically, like, I was excited, extremely excited, and then to see the transitions that have happened since that time now, it's just made me a stronger father than I was initially. When she was first born, I was okay, I was getting adjusted, but now it's like I'm like 150% invested, even more, to where I'm with her more than anybody else. So my child is with me or anybody else, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So that's kind of, as far as my purpose, I feel like some people are just, you know, some things are just meant to be. And although I never initially wanted to have a child in the first place, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, because it's been the most rewarding experience of my life. And I feel like I'm lucky, I'm blessed to be a father, because considering a lot of the things that have happened in the last year since she's been born, on a personal level, if I didn't have my daughter, I probably would have lost my mind a long time ago. Just to be honest about some of the stuff that I haven't touched on here, but there's a lot of stuff that's gone on. a lot of stuff that would make me almost go kind of regress a little bit to things that I used to do before. So So I'm lucky, and that's the main thing I've been taught with fatherhood is just perspective, more perspective. I think it gives you more perspective as not only a person but as a man. And you know, I'm still learning every day. You know, just evolving as a parent, as a person, period. So I'm just happy for the experience. You know, I'm just lucky and blessed.
Definitely, definitely. All right. So we do have an hour and 14 minutes left on the live stream. We are here live talking with True God and my co-host, Shira J. We're talking about the phases of rebirth. So I'm going to take a quick little commercial break / music break, and then I want to kind of segue into a little bit of what Shira's dealing with, and then we will come back and finish up the rest of the interview with you. So I'm going to take this quick commercial break. All right, so here we go.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. So check them out. Visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Do you love to write about holistic subjects? We are looking for volunteer blog writers who are interested in writing on various subjects such as magic, the occult, metaphysics, yoga, herbal therapy, energy healing, and black history. So if you are interested, submit a sample of your work to TayQueen@Hotmail.com by 11:59 p.m. on June 24, 2013. You will be featured in the relaunch of the Conversations with the Queen blog if we like what you submitted. So please get in contact with us ASAP. Peace and blessings.
Benefactors turned actors, addictions took for captives, experience manufacturing is the rod.
The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. As a conscious alternative to the traditional Thanksgiving holiday, you are cordially invited to the 2013 Feast of Gratitude Cruise with Dick Gregory and Queen Afua. Call Alicia today at 888-636-5222. 888-636-5222. The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. 888-636-5222.
I hate this idea that you're the best because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world.
You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, True God on the mic, so expect nothing less, You fucking with the best of the best, You now fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, True God on the mic, so expect nothing less, Jesus Christ, here he is in the flesh, pyramids full of knowledge, periods of unrest. I started from the jungle, then evolved to the land. I started out as embryo, evolved to a man. Grew into a god, then evolved through his plan. It's supreme and majestic, I seem to profess it. The best of the best, building dreams through these records. Describe many scenes, hope the queens can digest it. Nigga, this ain't Drake, this ain't even Pusha T. So when they look to me, I just cleaned up their messes. This is that pure shit, no filters or additives. Raw ass rhymes that'll build up your adjectives. Flushing out the bullshit, familiar with laxatives. Cultivate the culture through these costs that break and falter. I broke free from chains, so I hope we can close.
claim. A new day for the team, they awoke me with games. So sleeping in the light, you can't awake me with fame. I speak into the mic, but shit lately has changed. If it makes me deranged, for now so be it. Pretty sure you won't see it, let it take you to pain. Instead of spitting swag rap, brag rap, instead I give you nothing but truth, because I'm sure you never had that.
What the world is gonna see, what the world is waiting for. Once in a lifetime, the dream of that 12-year-old boy to become the greatest of all time comes true.
You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best. True God on the mic, so expect nothing less, You fucking with the best of the best, You now fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best. True God on the mic, so expect nothing less,
I'm back willingly, hazardous activity. The future just no gain while laying the pack giving me. I resurrect the essence by bringing it back vividly. So never left the present while bringing the track misery. Calligraphy through wizardry, I guess that they consider me the best. Well, you're right in that assumption, how I function. Straight from out the dungeon, no three stacks of backbone. The big bruise is big bruise, caught within this black zone. Feel a cool breeze, see the flow's been in orbit. The best of the best as it goes through the chorus. I'm murdering the hideous and burying the gorgeous. Truant speed back, scattered, carrying the torches. These rappers, we done killed them, now we burying the corpses. Clashes in session, I ain't burying the courses. And every line's quotable, forever I'll be notable. The realest in this bitch now, forever uncontrollable. These rappers too emotional, I guess that means no hope for you. Standards ain't something that these fans wanna hold them to. I'm talking hip-hop, the truth in what I see. You think I like these niggas cause they similar to me, but in fact they not similar. I look at them as miniature, your shit just ain't immortal. Guess it's time to take a temperature, true.
I'm gonna be the superstar, but I always knew that I could be, because there's no one that can stop
true. You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best. True God on the mic, so expect nothing less, You fucking with the best of the best, You now fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best. True God on the mic, so expect nothing less,
Started writing at 10, got better by age 12. The best by 15, most rappers ain't age well. So now I'm the greatest and I'm barely 25. When I step into this booth, I make the world come alive. No wheels on my coattails, no they probably won't arrive. But this here's bona fide, so don't make a homicide. I'm just watching from afar, prophecy became vivid. The game always changed, why do niggas change with it? Talking all this street shit, we know you ain't living. You possessed by the demons, or lost in your dreaming? I heard these fat motherfuckers yelling, stay scheming. When you talking hip-hop, most of them don't know the meaning. I put it on my back, motherfucker, bang to it. I bring that raw shit, we don't fuck with strange music. You rocking with the God, I'm just here to slay Judas. If they looking at the throne, it's something that I own. So let me run it back, if you missing out again. It's an old man's game, look who's starting all the trends. The war is just beginning, so catastrophe is crucial. A menace to America whose savagery is brutal. When lost in society, that apathy is futile. But the class is in session, know that master teaches pupil true.
You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best, You fucking with the best of the best. True God on the mic, so expect nothing less,
Yo, it's Conversations with the Queen on Air Live, talking about Phases of Rebirth with my co-host, Shira J, and our guest, True God. That was his track, Best of the Best, just playing right there after that commercial break, that lovely commercial break. But before we get into the rest of this interview, I just want to take a little mini second and actually talk with Shira J about something very, very, very special, make a nice, you know, announcement to the Conversations with the Queen fam about her whole project that you're doing called Vision Class. So, Shira, let them know what Vision Class is, what it's about, and how they can get involved with it.
Okay. Well, Vision Class is an online it's an online course that is created in order to unite different people in the web community and help them achieve their visions. And in achieving their visions, hopefully they will find their life's purpose along the way, which this is a formula that I've noticed pretty much works universally. So, and of course, in Vision Class, we uncover universal truths, universal laws, things that span beyond the simplistic view of how one achieves their vision and really delves into the oneness that we have with one another in order to help people achieve their visions.
All right. So if anyone is interested in getting involved, let them know how they can do so.
Right. Well, for now, we have two channels. The current channel that Vision Class is going to be running off of is youtube.com/ Sugarfree TV, but we'll eventually move completely over to youtube.com/ Vision Class. We also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Vision Class. The email is sugarfreemail@rocketmail.com. And I would suggest to reach out to me on any of those sites, because we have a Google Plus site as well as a syllabus, but it's difficult to, I guess, speak about it because it's got a whole bunch of numbers and letters for the link. So it's easier to just try to connect via Facebook or YouTube, and then I could get back with you and give you more information if you prefer not to access Vision Class through Facebook. Some people prefer not to, so we do have other options.
Yes, so definitely join Vision Class if it's something that, you know, you feel that you would love to work on, getting in touch with your life purpose and how to manifest that into your life. It's definitely a great project. I will be on board. I will be doing the 12-week course with Shira on youtube.com/ Vision Class. So I dropped all the links in the live chat if you're in the live chat. And you can also check all that information out on Conversations with the Queens at blogspot.com. And we'll have it up there as well. So back to the interview with my fellow Gemini brother. I like that you're a Gemini. Because, you know, I like to play with the word Gemini all the time. You know, my company's name is Gemini Creation. So, you know, just got to give that shout out in there. Big up to all my Geminis. It is Gemini season. All right, so let's speak a little bit about some of the projects that you have going. So, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming album. What's the name of it? What's the premise? What's going on with that?
Well, the upcoming album, which should be out in the fall of this year, it's actually I don't want to call it a sequel. My first album was Soul Revival 1. It was Soul Revival, and this is Soul Revival 2. And I never initially wanted to make a sequel or a part 2 of anything. I've never been a fan of, like, you know, like Blueprint 1, 2, and stuff like that.
1705.
Yeah, I didn't want to do anything like that. But I think kind of keeping in touch with the whole rebirth, and just kind of a fresh start. I was sitting around. I initially was going to call my album The Black Experience, which I'm still going to do, but that's going to be the next album. And it's going to be the next album. So
that's like a Black Experience for real. I don't know.
Yeah. So I already actually had The Black Experience, the album, planned out, because I initially had planned it out before I thought about doing Soul Revival 2. But after everything that had happened, for me personally, I kind of, you know, I was sitting around and I remember listening back to the first Soul Revival and watching the documentary that I did on my YouTube channel about the album and how, you know, like I had my personal influences, which at the time was, you know, the mother of my child. She was like my personal influence for making that album. And then at the time she, you know, she wasn't pregnant yet, but we were trying to get pregnant at the time. So that was another influence for me personally. And then I had a lot of literary, you know, reading books about, like, Mega Evers and Malcolm X and just different things that were influencing me at the time. And I remember the energy that I had around the first Soul Revival, and I was like, it feels like that's where I'm at now. It's just like I was in a transition period when I did the first Soul Revival album, and I thought, well, you know, where I feel like I'm going. After I did the DOA album, I was like, it's like I didn't really know where to go. Because the DOA album was rooted in basically the entire pregnancy, because that's what I was living at the time, was the entire pregnancy and just kind of recollecting. And with all the changes and transitions, I felt like, well, this is a perfect time for me to do something that kind of sets off rebirth. And I wanted to kind of end I kind of in the era of what I've been doing, you know, musically, I've done a lot of soul sample, you know, hard hitting hip hop, which I'm all, which is, that's my favorite thing to do. But the Black Experience album, the reason why I held off on that is because it's going to be an entire live album, pretty much live instruments. Everything is going to be done as opposed to, you know, so it's
I love live
music. Yeah, it's going to be different. It's something, you know, and before I do something different and move on to that, I feel like I have to finish up what I feel like my purpose is as far as this type of hip hop. Because doing a live hip hop, you know, album is different. It's not a lot. You don't hear it a lot every day. So I wanted to do something different with that. And now with Soul Revival 2, I feel like I have to restart everything for me. And so this album is a lot of influence on you know, like being single with a child as well, and actually being a father who's you know, very, very active in your child's life, as well as still dealing with a breakup, a messy breakup at that, and being and actually being on both sides of the messy breakup, you know, you being in the wrong in some cases and getting terribly wrong in some cases yourself, and as a man, I don't think men we tend not to show our emotions a lot and put our souls in out there, but anybody who knows me knows I have no problem doing that, and that's exactly why the album to me was like, before I move on to doing something else, I obviously have a lot of things I need to address and get out, and Soul Revival 2 just seemed to be like the perfect fit. So I'm working on it now, and I've taken my time because I was going to put it out in this in April, but I'm glad I held it off because there's a lot of experiences that I've had since April. So much has changed. So with that, you know, initially it was going to be about me, you know, trying to work out my situation. You know, it was a lot of things I was working on, and music I was working on at the time was about, you know, getting back, like redemption from, you know, trying to rework my relationship and try to get it back and try to work on it. And then right around as April started and I was getting ready to, you know, start releasing stuff, something happened, which if people follow me on Twitter probably know all about, but when that thing happened, it completely changed the direction. I said, I'm going to start all over. So I scrapped everything, and I said, I'm going to start it over, and I'm going to take this energy, and I'm going to use it. And I'm already 12 songs into the album, which I don't know. I think I'm going to do like 14 or 15 songs, but I'm 12 songs into the album, and it turned out that much more amazing than what I had done before. So I'm glad to have, even though it's not the greatest energy that I have, you take it and put it, you know, put into the art, and it becomes a positive thing. So Soul Revival 2 is coming in. I'm thinking October, maybe November at the latest. So just working out the details now.
Okay. And how have your recent experiences affected your artistry?
You know, I can't say it affected me like artistically that much, because all my albums and all my music are always rooted in personal and like my personal life, where I know a lot of artists, especially in the hip hop genre, we create almost images and characters for ourselves, and we don't get, you know, talk about what's realistic or what you're really living through. Like, I can talk about tons of experiences. Like, if it was to my first album, I basically put my whole life story in one song. It's just like a really short form. It was like an 8-minute song. And on the second album, I put, you know, the feelings I was going through when my lady was pregnant at the time, and I battled some of my demons. So now, the recent changes, it's just brought more out of me. It's just a different aspect. I think most of the people who've heard my music already and they have my albums, they're used to hearing me more so. I want to say uplifting, because my music is this album still has a lot of uplifting tones, but there's also some human, you know, I would say human, like really, really human moments. With this, because when you're known as True God, and I have a lot of people, which I didn't know this until everything started happening personally with me, and people started to see some of the things that was going on. I didn't know that people who were, you know, DM me on Twitter, like, man, I've always looked up to you, and I like, your music helps me, and I didn't notice, you know, you don't really notice as an artist, that's not what I do it for. I just kind of do it to kind of, for me, it's therapy. So when I put out my art, I just figure somebody's going to relate to it, and more people I see who relate to it, and they tell me things. As an artist, for me, it's mind-blowing, but it also now gives me it lets me know that I'm not as crazy as I think. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I'm talking about this on this song, and I'm like, I don't know, like, maybe people won't get it. If they don't, it doesn't really matter. I need to
yeah.
record it and get it out. But I can't really say it's changed me artistically. I think it's just allowed me to talk about experiences that I would initially have thought I probably shouldn't, because of what the image that the fans kind of crafted for me. Because I know Queen, you know Palmetto Star, who is, you know, that's my homie. And when I'm on his show, I used to be on his show a lot. I haven't been on it in a while because my other show that I do. But when I was on his show, I'm always really outgoing and very controversial. And that's the image that people automatically have, you know, like, oh, he said something about this dude or this mainstream rap, or he said this and he says anything. like, that's the image. So
yeah.
it's almost like you're this, you know, figure who can take on the industry and take on, you know, Hollywood and the commercialization that, you know, of hip hop, and that's still what I do, you know, but I think now with this album, people get to see, like, man, he's really dealing with some, you know, with some heavy stuff that's going on. And you know, there's a moment in the album, because it's a story itself. There's a moment in the album where I get to a point where I'm letting people know what I'm experiencing as a single man, because it's been 8 years since I've been single. The game is entirely different. It's an entirely different dating field now than it was before. And I'm not, and when I was before, I was, you know, I was really young 8 years ago. I'm not a young man. I'm not that old, but I'm not a young man anymore. I was fresh out of high school when we initially started dating. And,
yeah.
You know, so it wasn't really, you know, like long term breakups in those 8 years. They maybe like a week or two where you break up and you get back together, and you know, and we were living together for like six of those 8 years. So that, you know, it's a different thing. So now I'm back out there and I'm experiencing stuff that I was just like, I'm unfamiliar. I felt out of place. Like, a lot of my boys are like, man, you seem like you were out of place for a while, and now I think I'm finding my place in the dating world, which is something I talk about on the album. Like, and I know the average dude is like, man, I'm back out there, whatever, you know, back out here just doing whatever. I'm not like that. Like, I'm a, I guess this might sound weird, like, I'm a relationship type of dude. So, because it's easy for me to play the other role. You know, the player role stuff. It's easy for me to do that, but there's nothing gratifying from that from my mind or my soul.
Yeah.
You know, I always like women. You know, women with substance. You know, I crave a queen in my life. So that's what I need. And I find that in today's dating world, it's hard to find. So I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about that on the album. I never initially talked about stuff like this before, because this, you know, before I made one song that I dedicated to Mother of My Child on my last album, which was the Modern Day Woman song. And that was it. Like, on my first album, there was nothing about, I mentioned her here and there, but there was no, like, actual song dedicated to her or anything like that. It was just only on the second album where I did that. And I wasn't comfortable writing music about women at the time, because, like, I didn't have any experiences. It was just that one experience I had in a relationship. So I felt like what everything that was between me and her were between me and her, and I didn't need to put that out there. You know, I didn't want to, my relationship. But now that everything's gone so public, and the way everything's went, it's like now I kind of have no choice but to talk about it, and I'm glad that I can talk about everything on this album. It's the whole, like, it's a really interesting story. So I just tell everybody to be on the lookout for fall in the fall when the album comes out, so you can get the full story, because it's a lot. It takes a lot out of me to even talk about it. When I'm writing it, it took a lot for me to even put together the album that we're putting together now, because it's actually kind of emotional. It's like an emotional thing. Like it's the end of a chapter in your life, and you're starting a brand new chapter. And you know, I've already got a new group of friends, a new group of females that I'm currently, I guess, talking to or whatever. But it's just, I don't know, it's different. It's different, and that
it's very different. Yeah,
it's really different. So
yeah, definitely. All right. We're still online. We still got time. And for anybody who would like to call in with questions, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. Again, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. Call up with your questions or comments pertaining to rebirth and the phases of rebirth, or just to chill and kick it with us lovely, wonderful people. So we do have a caller calling from the 803 area code. I think I already know who this is. A caller from the 803 area code. You're alive on Conversations with the Queen.
Peace, what's good? This is Palmetto Star, a.k.a. The Ratchet Revolutionary, a.k.a. the New Round Hulu Radio. What's good? What's good? True God, what's good? Peace Queen, what's up? You know,
I knew it was you.
I am big time.
I knew
you already know, man. Hey, you already know. Every time True God's on something, man, I got to call up and support, because Like you were saying earlier, that's my homie, man. That's my homie for real. You know what I'm saying? He makes great, great, great music. We connected on the music thing, and he was an integral part of Turn Off Your TV Volume 1 mixtape, integral part of Turn Off Your TV Volume 2, and he will be an integral part of Turn Off Your TV Volume 3, which is dropping this summer. But, yeah, he makes phenomenal music. And it's so different from mainstream, because it's authentic, and you feel the authenticity in his words, in his storytelling, and everything. You know, he tells it, man. He tells it. You know what I'm saying? Live from wherever he's at. You know, I'm out here walking in the hood, no street lights. Street lights, of course, come off when I'm going walking. It, you know, so you know he
don't bump
you know
into anything.
He embodies all that. He embodies that, and you know, I just want to take a big time salute to True God. But you know, I'm familiar with you know, he was speaking on the situation that happened in April, and he didn't really vocalize it about what really went down.
You know what?
Was it the breakup or what was it?
You know what, Palmetto? You know what? This is my first actual interview since everything went down.
Okay.
But because I haven't had a chance to call in to Rolf TV, my show.
Yeah,
now. Yeah, and we do it on Thursday, and you know, coincidentally, it has to be like at 10:30, which cuts into
Yeah.
I know, I didn't set it up that way. My co-hosts are like, we got to do one, like, you know, after like a certain TV show comes on. But the basic of the situation that happened is, you already knew for a fact that I think I told you that I was living a single life, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm out here now, but the situation is that I was lied to, because I thought we were still working on some way to maybe work it out, and when I found out over Twitter, you know, that I was told that that she was going on a vacation with her friends, which didn't make sense because she doesn't hang around with a lot of girls anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I told her, I was like, don't lie to me. You know, if you're gonna go hang out with some dude, let me know. I was like, because if it's gonna be, I was like, if you want to do that, I'm not gonna stay here for 5 days and watch our child, like, for you to go be with some other dude. That's not gonna happen. And so I was lied to, and I found out somebody called me. She was gone for 3 days. I didn't even know. I didn't even care. I was like, well, whatever. I didn't care. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was talking, doing my own thing, you know. I was just like, well, I told her, you know, like, until we get this right, I'm not gonna cut off any females until I know for a fact, you know. I was like, but let me know where your head is first. And I don't have any problem doing that. It's easy for me to be like, all right, whatever. Like, if we're gonna work this out, let's work this out. But when I was lied to, and then somebody called me and was like, dude, she's all over Twitter. And it's funny because she was all over Twitter posting pictures of them together on vacation.
Wow.
And I didn't know. And I found out who the dude was, and I was like, for one, I was like, just, you know, I was like, first of all, you downgraded, first of all, because the dude's a bum. And then I was like, well, whatever. I was like, I just didn't like being lied to. And then it came to a point where I got naturally angry. And Palmetto, you know me. My first reaction was like, okay, you lied to me. And then you got this dude. I was like, all right, that's going to be a problem. And automatically, the peaceful side of me automatically left. It was gone. I was on the phone with my homies, and it was like, what you want to do? Like, because, you know, and it was a situation where she came to me and was like, well, if you got a problem with this, like, what do you want to do? And then automatically, my street homies, they went, tracked her iPhone, found out where they were, and I thought she was out of town, and she was, like, downtown Baltimore.
Wow.
And
wow,
my,
that's crazy.
And my homies.
Treacherous.
And my, yeah, it's Rami. And my homies was like, hey, like, we're going to take them out. Like, you want me to take them out? Like, Palmetto, you already know.
Yeah, I already know, man.
You already know how it is. So my people, they tracked them, went down there, and they was outside, like, with heat on them, ready to go handle it. And then that was the turning point. That was my turning point mentally for me, because it's easy to do something like that for me. That's nothing. You're going to handle a problem,
yeah.
You're going to handle a situation. But the first thing I thought was, I was like, she's not even worth it. Like, it's not even worth it. Like, why do that? Why risk that? And, you know, my homies was like, what you want to do? And I looked at my daughter.
Yeah.
That was when I was like, I can't go back to doing the same thing. It was a crossroads for me, because I was like, if you want to act like that or you want to do that, like, and first of all, she met the dude off of Twitter, and they have a relationship off Twitter, which I thought, like, you got to be a loser to do that in the first place. But, and that's just me, like because he's not even from here. He's from, like, you know, he's from the Carolinas, Palmetto. That's funny.
Oh, no.
And it's funny because we got, like, I got homies out there who's like, I think I seen dude. Like, what you want me? Like, even still to this day, people are like, you know, and I'm trying to keep peace, because I'm like, well, we still have a child to raise. Regardless of my personal feelings about stuff, it's like, that's fine. You know what? Like, you can go ahead and you can be with somebody who you don't know like that. You only see that created image online, and you met them, like, once, you know, and you went on vacation with somebody that you don't know. I was like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Like, all my women are local. You know, like, all my women are local. Like, I don't have an issue. And with everything that happened, and it was so public, like, a lot of people in my Twitter still don't know exactly what happened, because I've made a conscious effort to not let people know. I mean, if you go watch my YouTube videos, you can obviously retrace all the steps and know who I'm talking about and what I'm talking about. But it's a situation where now I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm not gonna mess with it. Like, every dude probably winds up with every dude I know seems to wind up with the file baby mama, and they're, you know, and they're taking care of the kids, or they're, you know, being, like, really great fathers. And it just so happens I actually got caught in that situation. I feel like if I took a loss, I'm a man, I could bounce back from a loss at the end of the day. But I would have taken an even bigger loss if I'd have went ahead and did what my natural reaction was. Because the first thing I thought was, like, dude, I spent 8 years, like, 8 years, and this, like, I feel kind of played, like, 8 years, like, 8 years,
wow.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's time I can't get back. Like, if I don't know you're going to pull something like that, we could have reversed, you know, a year or two and just ended it that last time we broke up, and we would have avoided a lot of stuff, you know? Like, we have a bond now that attaches us together forever, you know? We have a child that's going to attach us together forever. So that's where a lot of my head was, and I said, you know what? I was like, I have to dig in myself to find that higher power, because it's really easy. Like I was saying earlier, like, I got a lot of human moments. Like, people aren't used to that. Like, you know, I'm on 2 Off TV. I'm crazy. I go crazy on that stuff. I talk a lot of, you know, I call out a lot of people.
Yeah.
But on a personal level, I think Lola Kay even said it a couple of times. Like, I've always shown respect to the people that's in my circle, and I'm a big believer in loyalty. So I believe that regardless of what the situation is, regardless, I still have a tad bit of loyalty to it. Even if I was gonna go out and mess with other females, and you know, me and her went together, I would not broadcast it and put pictures or do stuff like that online. And I thought that was ultimate disrespect. That was ultimate disrespect. And that's why my initial thought was, you disrespect me. Like, you basically slapped me in my face. Like, you're playing with fire right now because you know what I'm capable of and you know who I have around me. And that was when I was like, I was like, she's stupid and I'm not going to give her, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. Maybe she wants me to send somebody and just end it. I don't know. I'm not going to give her the benefit. And since then, I've been at peace. And it's helped the album because I've been able to take that anger and put it into the album. You know, I've taken that feeling I had, and now I just transferred into just finding somebody else. You know, like I think she felt like she was getting back at me for what she assumed was her revenge for something she thought I did, which I didn't do. And I quoted it's a line in the song. A song that I have is called "Lost for Words," and on Soul Revival 2, and I say, like, she's the type that'll talk to other dudes and think it's laughable, but I'll be the type to find another and never look back at you. Mm. I think that's what it is because she thinks it was funny when it happened because how nonchalant it was, and I was like, okay, it was like. Like, you're like, it's only so much you can do in that type of situation, but it's an interesting thing, you know. It's a really interesting situation, especially since I've had to force myself to be very cordial to people that I don't feel like I need to be cordial to, but at the same time, I think that's what makes you a bigger person and a better man for it at the end of the day, to not be as petty as everybody else, you know. Real easy to go down the petty route, and I'm still trying not to. Luckily, I had a good birthday weekend, so I did a lot of partying and stuff like that. So I'm taking it one step at a time. But you know from metal how hard it is. Like, when you have that street mentality, it doesn't go away. There's always something that can trigger it really quick.
Mm-hmm.
It never leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing that triggered it. And I was like, I won't even get my hands dirty in this at all. And even still, you know, like, we're so, you know, our team DAR and everything, like, we're so connected around everywhere. You know, like, we have people in L.A., we got people in North Carolina and South Carolina. We got some cats in ATL. Like, we have people in New York, like, D.C. We have people everywhere that we're connected with. So it's to the point now where I'm like, if I really wanted to make an issue about certain stuff, I could do that. But it's like, what is it going to benefit me at the end of the day to blow everything that I'm working for now and also put my child at risk because, you know, she depends on me for a lot of stuff. So, I guess
you're able to transmutate that feeling and put it into the music. You know, that's always a good thing when you're able to turn, you know, that heat and that anger and turn it into something that is positive and something that could help out other people in the process, because you're not only helping out yourself. I know it's cathartic to spit rhymes and it makes you feel good, but you also helping out people in the same situation, you know, saying that's going through that. So, you know, big kind of salute to you for that, you know, saying that's one of the things about you, you know, you're 100% authentic. And that authenticity, you know, will help other people. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, you know, I feel you 100% on that.
Yeah, I gotta come on. I come on too raw and talk a little bit about it, because there's more.
Right.
There's a lot more, but I know this is not about what happened in April. So I don't like. I'm taking up a lot of time now. So I know we're talking about rebirth and things like that, so I don't want to take up too much time. And Queen has got completely quiet when just me and you all started talking. So
y'all, like, I know how to play the background. You know what I'm saying? So I'm here hustling, chilling over here.
But it's your show, though, right? So it's your show. So I'm like,
hey, I have guests on here for a reason. Don't anybody want to hear about me 24/7? You know, shoot. Hey, it's life. Things happen.
But nah, you know, I'm gonna link up with you, Palmetto, because I need to come back on 2 Raw. I've been trying to get a certain somebody from my team to call in a little bit more, but you know, to hold it down. But you know that don't seem to work too well. But I definitely gotta call in one of these days. I'll take a break from my show, and call in, because it's a lot. Like it's been a lot that's been going on since the last time I was on the show, like maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago, and
mm-hmm.
Everything's changed since then. Everything. So you know, it's been transitions. Mm. Like last time I was on the radio show that I was initially doing before, I'm not doing it anymore. I started up my own with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I had to do that because that was a situation where, you know, the people who I was doing the show with, I was the main like driving force of that show. I'm a huge driving force of the show that we have all together now that I started with, you know, a couple of my old co-hosts. Like, I was the main driving force. Like, if we have guests, I would get the guests. If, you know, we're promoting it, I would do a lot of the promoting, and I would do a lot of the stuff back behind the scenes to, you know, to keep the brand alive. And it gets to the point where, you know, people start to power trip, and it's like, we're just doing this for fun. Like, it's a sports-orientated show, you know, like wrestling and stuff like that. Like, there should be no egos about this. Like, you would never hear me come out and say, you know, like, I'm the star of the show. People would say that for me, but I would never say that out loud. Like, I obviously know that, like, you know, the power I can possess, and I can hone my own power, but I would not go be out there, like, you know, with a big head, like, I do this, I do that. And then when people start to say, like, well, no, we running it, and we running this, and I'm like, dude, that ain't how it works. Like, it's a team. If we're going to be a team, if somebody initially says they're head and leader of something, and, you know, and we have a team, you know, under that, that's cool. You know, that's fine, but that's not what it was initially. And when I saw that people were like, look, they taking all the credit for this and that, like, I did this or I did that, and I'm like, nah, you didn't. Like, you put that all on me. You know, like, I spend 2 hours doing conference calls to get this person confirmed, this and that. You didn't do that, you know. And then when people start taking credit for it, I'm like, nah, I can't be a part of the brand no more. And then when that happens, you built up relationships with people over, you know, hosting a show with people for like over a year and some change and talking to them consistently. And once you build up a rapport relationship, they feel like you betrayed them because I'm like, dude, you're not, you basically want me to be like a worker boy for you when I'm doing everything that a boss would do for this show. And that's when that's when me and one of the co-hosts are like, dude, we got to get out of here. Like, and it's a risk to take something, a brand that you helped build and grow. Because when I initially started with that brand, it was like 50 followers and maybe like 20 listeners. And by the time I left, I got them up to almost 2,000 followers and a consistent amount of like 1,000 and 1,500 listeners a show.
Mm-hmm.
So to help grow that brand and, you know, and be a, like a focal point on the show, and then people not give you credit for what you've done and take all the credit for themselves, you know, and especially when there's people who like are co-founders of that old show who weren't even on the show for like a year, almost a year. The entire time I was on the show, they weren't even on the show, but they came back and was like, look what we did. Look what we've grown from the bottom. It's like, you weren't even here. You weren't even there to do anything. And so now we're doing a new show, which we're actually doing a show tonight at 11:30. But when, you know, we do that show tonight, you know, it's a different atmosphere. It's no egos or nothing. We look out for each other, you know, like everybody's cool. So that's a lesson to be
Excuse
able
me.
To evolve from that. You know? So.
No doubt. Well, yeah, man, I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, support everything True Guy, Cop Soul Revival 1, get Soul Revival 2 when it comes out, get the mixtapes, turn off your TV Volume 1, Volume 2, and, you know, just... And all True Guy's mixtapes as well, man, because, I mean, he's very authentic, very, you know, outgoing, very outspoken. So, you know, and you're definitely, you know, one thing for sure, after every verse, after every line, you're gonna hear something that's going to resonate with you. So, you know, that's why I just encourage everybody to do as far as the listeners and all that.
And real quick, Palmetto, was it funny? You say authentic. You said authentic a lot, right?
The funniest
part about it is there's a song on Soul Rival 2. The title is authentic. That's why I was laughing to myself. You just promoted a song that won't come out for about a couple more months. That works perfect for me, man. But I always appreciate the love, man. I'm gonna get up with you soon. I gotta get you I have a new phone and a new number and everything. I haven't been able to get in touch with you through that because I lost all my contacts, which was a lot of people, a lot of females I lost too. So
okay, well we're gonna link up. We're gonna connect on that point, man. That's for real.
No doubt.
Okay. Thanks for listening, Palmetto, and you can give everybody, the information to your show. Go on ahead. Let them know.
All right. Well, Too Raw for TV comes on every Thursday at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/TooRawForTV. This week, we have Shantae Waynes from the Notoriously Funny Waynes family. If you don't know about the Waynes family, you don't know about In Living Color, you don't know about Scary Movie, Scary Movie 1, Scary Movie 2. She's part of that same family. She's doing stand-up all around Atlanta, all around the USA. She just got off tour with Cat Williams. She's going to be doing Wildin' Out on MTV 2 in July. So she's going to be on the show Thursday at 11 p.m. on Too Raw for TV. Call up 323-410-0036 to make a comment or question her.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. So it's time for the next question?
Yep, time for that next question.
Okay, so True God, what advice would you give to anyone out there who is going through their own phase of rebirth?
I think my advice for anybody going through that phase of rebirth is kind of to take every moment that you have and take something from it, every moment. I've always told people to always understand the psychology of what you're going through when you're in phases of rebirth or in transition, because everything has mental connotations to it. So if you're going through what you feel is like the most, tragic thing of all time, and I've been there before. Yeah. I've been there before. Like, man, this is so messed up and crazy. And once you have a mental understanding of why things happen and you can grasp a lot of things mentally, the toughest thing, because what I didn't mention is that, like, even in April when everything was going on, the day after that happened, I found out my grandmother passed away the very next day. And then my aunt passed away 2 days later. And my cousin, who was like a brother to me, got shot that same day my aunt passed away. And that's all in 1 week that everything was going on. So, and when that happened, I'd like, initially, you're almost like facing a breakdown because that's like my grandmother to me, she raised me almost more than what my mother did growing up. And she's the only person in my family who actually had my back through a lot of stuff. So when that happened, it's like, to me, I was like, this is just the end of a chapter in my life. You can't turn to the people that you used to turn to before for like moral support and because that's what my grandmother was. And when I was going through that, it's still like a month old, and it's still surreal because you're like, oh, my aunt dies, like, and then my grandmother, and then my cousin gets shot, and he's still recovering. So it's so much going on, and then you're like, you basically see the exact death of your family on top of that, because that's what when you create a child, that's what you initially wanted to be, is a family, eventually marry. Right. And be father and husband and stuff like that. And so you see all of that die in front of you and completely die. Like, there's no turning back from that, no coming back from that. So it's like, when you see that and then you lose, like, some of the most important people that you've had in your life, period, all at once, automatically after you get over, you know, obviously the why this happened and stuff like that, and even when that's going on, you're like, all this happens for a reason, you know. There's always reasons behind everything that happens, and that's why I say you got to take in every moment and look at it from, you know, look at it for what it is and try to get something out of it. Because, you know, the average person, when I was talking to people at the time, when I'm like, my grandmother just died after this happened, you know, just yesterday, I found this, and you know, somebody was like, man, like, if I was you, I'd have sent my boys, I'd have had them to handle it, you know, like, I'd be messed up right now. Like, how are you holding it together? Like, because I was going out with my friends to try to just, like, keep my, you know, like, because, you know, I have to still be around, you know, my mother, you know, the mother of my child. And after that happens, you know, it's not an easy thing. So I'm going out, and I'm out and not being around as much, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll be with my daughter, and you this and that. Like, and it's so much different things you have to deal with that, I would tell people, like, look, I know what I'm going through, and it might seem like the worst thing to me it is right now. It's like, but you can't stop living life, because that's what a lot of people stop at that moment when everything breaks down and you never recover. So the second you stop, a lot of times you don't recover. And I've seen that happen to a lot of people in my family, where they'll have a tragedy happen and they'll stop.
Right.
And you'll stop for a long time, you know, because a lot of people are like, man, you should take a break from making music. You should take a break from doing your radio show. And the day after everything happened, and the day my grandmother died, I had to do a show, radio show. I had to go to, you know, do a studio session, and I did it. Like, I'm not going to stop, and there's no days off for me anyway, you know. So, like, I work through everything, and I just channel the energy, and I put it into my art. And a lot of people are like, I don't know how you do that. I'm like, because nothing stops. Life is continuous. So whenever you're in a rebirth, you can't stop in the middle of that. You got to keep going, you know, and that's just everything. You got to keep going, because if I would have stopped, you know, I could have jeopardized some of the businesses and brands that I'm helping build up. A lot of stuff that I've been doing, I could mess that up, you know, and I think about that too. And if I would have stopped, you know, that could have affected, who knows what that could have affected in my personal life, you know, as far as my family and my daughter. Like, there's so many things. You never know what you're shutting down at one point could do, you know. So I that's why I don't shut, and that's always been my advice, is never stop living because something dies. And I see it with my mother, you know, with the situation with my grandmother, it's tough for her, and I understand, you know. I understand what she's going through, and I tell her, like, you still can't stop living. You know, we still got to keep going, you know, like, because that's what my grandmother should always tell us. She's like, we have no time for tears, you know, we have no time to stop. You just continue to go, and, like, life is a journey, and if you stop in the middle of your journey, you might not get there. So that's always been her advice, and I take that with me every day. And I try to tell everybody else, never stop. You know, continue living on. You know, even if you're more in mourning, you still got to keep. You got to mourn in passing, in a lot of ways. You know, so that's always been my advice when you're going through something. Is just keep going because it gets better. It gets better and improves. I mean, especially if you believe it will. You know, if you have a negative mind state, you're gonna attract more negative energy. So.
Mm.
Got to keep positivity around.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So with all that being said, which was awesome advice, by the way, with all that being said, let the listeners know about any of the projects and how they can support any of the other projects that you're doing. You know, let them know how they can get involved.
Well, I know one thing we actually just started up, which I didn't get a chance to mention, and I'm surprised Palmetto didn't bring it up. We have a donation fund through GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com, and I'm so unprepared for this because I cannot find the link to give it out. It's like a weird link with like all these numbers and letters, but the donation fund is initially started up to help like low-income families in Baltimore and like starving families in Baltimore actually eat.
Yeah.
And I had it set up through PayPal before, and PayPal is just really weird to do it like that. So I just went through GoFundMe, that way everybody can see where everything's going and see the donations. And we actually were able to feed like 26 families here just in the first month. So we have that going on, and if you follow me on Twitter at True Guard Immortal, when I find the link, because I have so many links that it's somewhere in my email, and I have a link for it. But yeah, we do that, and we fed 26 families in the Baltimore area, and we do a lot of things, like we do some book drives and stuff like that. But my Twitter is like my gateway for everything. So if there's something, an event we're gonna plan or something we're gonna do, I usually put it out on Twitter. Or I put something out on Twitter that we're going to do this or do that. So, and it's nothing like we plan ahead. We do things like spontaneously. Like if we're going to go to the library and try to even help, just do like a mini book drive for a lot of the books that they don't put in the libraries, or stuff that they don't, might not, even books that people might not go to look for. You might not think to look for, a book on, you know, like famous black leaders or even like philosophy and psychology and stuff like that. So I always try to, talk with the youth and things like that to just kind of put them on to, doing research and knowledge, just get knowledge. You have to soak up as much knowledge as possible while you're here. So we do that a lot here. My whole team, we do that throughout the whole Maryland, state of Maryland. It's kind of tough to do that amongst everything else. But as far as other things that we're doing, we also have, I have a book coming out in 2014, which I don't want to put out a lot of information yet, because we're still in the process of working on it. I have an autobiography that'll be coming out and also in 2014. But the book we're working on, it's a unique type of book. If you took a comic book and graphic novels and put them together with a novel of somebody's life story, it's kind of in that vein. It's kind of hard to explain. I always try to do something that's unique and different when I do stuff. So that's something we're working on. That'll be next year, and I'm pretty sure I'll be back on and have some details once we get everything finalized. As far as music, you can go to iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, basically any place online that sells music. I think my albums are on there. You can actually go to that Piff. I have some free mixtapes. I don't put out a lot of free music because I value my music so much that I don't put out a lot of free music. But I do have some mixtapes. I have a Lost Tapes mixtape, which I don't promote a lot, but I just put it out there for fans. And it's called the True God Collection. It's like a Lost Tapes of stuff that I've done from like years past and unheard songs from previous sessions. For like Soul Revival 1 sessions and DOA that didn't make it onto the album. So I have that, the True God Collection. Of course, my first mixtape, The Immortal Kingdom, which was from like 2 or 3 years ago, that's on that Piff. If you just Google search The True God Collection, the first thing to pop up would be my Lost Tapes. And then The Immortal Kingdom, you can Google that with True God and it'll pop up on that Piff, like Mixtape Factory and a couple of different ones. We also have the Team DAR mixtape, which is the free mixtape that's on Mixtape Pass. If you look up Team DAR, The End Is Coming on Google, because I don't have the links. I think it was like, it initially was tinyurl.com/TeamDAR, and it'll take you to two or three different sites with the mixtape on it. I know it's probably more stuff. There's so much stuff that I'm sick right now. Like my mind is so like. I usually have a list of stuff, and I don't have a list of stuff right now. So I don't have a list of stuff right now. But there's so much stuff. You can also check out he's under the Team DAR emblem, Speed on the Beat. He's done all the production on my albums. He's done a lot of production on my mixtapes. He is the other artist on the Team DAR in this coming mixtape. You can actually check his iTunes, I think. It's iTunes.com/speedonthebeat. And I think that's it. I mean, outside of my YouTube, True God Tube TV, we actually have a mini clothing line, which we haven't updated in, like, months. which is on Cafe Press, was cafepress.com/teamdar, where you can check out some of the interesting designs that we had on there. We had a lot of controversial shirts that we put out on there. And also my other show, which is Wrestling Heels Radio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingHeelsRadio. You can check it out and listen to all the crazy stuff. We have a lot of interviews with, like, you know, sports entertainment figures on there. So I think that's it. I'm not 100% sure. But I think,
no, I totally get it. I'm a Gemini, so I have, like, 60 billion projects at once going on, so...
Mm-hmm. We're just creative. we just love being creative. So I definitely understand that.
Definitely. So I just put the link to your Twitter down in the chat. So I think probably the best way to do it would be just like tell them to follow you on Twitter, and if they want to know anything about anything that you're doing, you'll probably have it up there. So all right. That's about it. Anything else you want to talk about? Any last-minute shout-outs, big-ups, anything like that you want to give?
I have to send a shout-out to everybody who might be listening, who sent me birthday wishes and things like that, because I've got a lot of people. I have people send me gifts. Some of my followers on Twitter, which made my birthday. It was my first birthday as a single man in like 8 years, so. I had a ton of fun. I very much appreciate everybody who sent me a lot of shout-outs and a lot of love. And shout-out to Palmetto. That was my first time actually talking to Palmetto in a minute. So shout-out to Palmetto Star for calling in. Shout-out to everybody who supports True God, Team DR, the movement, Wrestling Hills, the movement, who support the donation funds and all the efforts that we're doing to help the community. Just shout out to everybody who's been supportive. Of course, follow me on Twitter at True God Immortal. And once again, disclaimer and warning: at times I'm very sporadic. I say a lot of things. I use a lot of vulgar language. I use a lot of vulgar language at times.
Sometimes I'll be scrolling down the feed like, okay.
I don't have a filter. So. I had a filter before when I was in a relationship. I was like, I'm not gonna say this type of stuff. I'm not gonna say this. And now I'm like, if I think it, I say it. And sometimes I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that. But a lot of I've said a lot of things. But all entertaining, all done in the name of entertainment and just being authentic and being honest. You can follow. I want everybody at your own risk. I do have a lot of.
He said at your own risk.
At your own risk. Like I do have a lot of good discussions and arguments / debates with people on there about a lot of stuff. We talk a lot about hip hop. We talk a lot about sports. We also talk about the community. We were trying to get Miguel, the singer Miguel, to actually engage with us today because he had a lot of interesting.
Sorry,
just
had a moment.
Yeah.
I love Miguel. Sorry, you had just had a little sad.
I know women like Miguel. I mean,
he's a fine brother. Just saying.
We'll see. I don't have anything to say on that. But the interesting part about what you're saying is that he has some interesting comments today about black people, and which to me, he made a generalization about black people. And anytime, because my team, we tend to get into a lot of Twitter debates and arguments with a lot of famous artists.
So look, is he black or not? Because I heard he was Mexican.
Supposedly he's all mixed up, like. I guess like me, because like I'm mixed.
Also, he's black.
So I hope.
Like pretty much
equals black.
At the end of the day.
I suppose, and when he said on Twitter, I kind of took offense to it because I'm like, you're making a general statement, and I feel like a lot of times we tend to make too many general statements about our own people, and we do it on social forums. I feel like those are the kind of conversations that we could have. in private,
true,
you know. And when he did it, I wanted to engage him, and he and you know, I've had no problem getting quote unquote celebrities to engage me because I talk with a lot of them, and you know, for him, I even tweeted. I was like, I find it funny that he can make general statements and kind of disrespect people. You know, his people.
Well, he be disrespecting people by jumping over them and kicking them in the face too. So.
That was funny. That was horrible.
I'll just say it like.
It was just funny how he kept going though. Like that was like.
No, right?
I mean, I guess you weren't gonna not keep going, but it was still quite interesting how he handled that, like in that moment.
Yeah, I know y'all talking about the leg drop. I'm not. I didn't see it. I didn't actually see it. But
oh, you watched the video?
I've seen pictures of the still, and I was like, that's messed up.
What was his comment though? Do you remember his comment?
His comments were that black people, we are the most judgmental people in the entire world, and some he said a few other things. He followed up with it.
Really?
I don't follow him. I don't follow him on Twitter. I would never do that. It doesn't feel manly to follow him. So when I had to throw that in, but no. But when he made the comments and somebody retweeted it, and the person who retweeted it, I was like, hold on, dude. And then what I did first was I like to pay attention to what people are saying. You can look at a tweet and see the responses below. So
right.
What I did was I looked at responses and I was like, man, people are really like really sheep like because everybody was like, I agree with you 100%. And but these are the same people who and if you go to their actual Twitter profile, they're tweeting very pro black stuff and these different things. And as soon as somebody says something like a celebrity says something, the public opinion automatically gravitates to what they're saying. And so I jumped in and I was like, well, I said that's a bit of an irony that you're calling an entire race of people judgmental, which is very ironic because you're making a judgmental statement by
judgment
saying
yourself.
Not forget, I don't care if black people need to look at him. I'm talking about other races that don't know what he is. He's going to be qualified as black. I don't care how much relaxer and texturizer, moisturizer he has in his little hair, everyone's going to think he's black. So no one, you know what I'm saying? Like, unless you know his name and then you know about him, the general consensus will be that he's black. So you get lumped in with that same group of people that you're talking about, phenotypically you're black, you know?
Yeah, and my thing was, I was just like, you're making a generalized statement. You know, and then I asked a question, which he probably didn't want to respond. I was like, has he had any black women in any of his videos? Like, because I saw two of his videos, and the two videos that I saw of his had I'm assuming white women in them. I don't know if they were white or not, but they look white.
Not obviously black women.
Yeah, they were not obviously, you know, they were obviously not black women. So when I saw that, and I just asked a question. I wasn't trying to be smart. I was just like, you know, do you have black women in your videos? Like, I know he does music, you know, with black women, like, but in a way, if you feel such a way about this, you're still, you know, you're still in the midst of the black culture, making music for the black culture, because that's people who gravitate to his music anyway. So when you do when you make those kind of comments, I'm like, yeah, black people are so judgmental, but those are the people who went out and bought your record, who got your, you know, who has your songs playing. So, you know, I wanted to actually have a real discussion, but a lot of times I know
he wasn't mad when they was judging and saying that he was a good artist.
Yeah,
the black community, if they rally behind you, then you're typically successful, like, regardless of what any other racial population rallies around you. If you have the black, as we know with the base vote, if you have the black vote, then you have it. And he wasn't mainstream until, you know, enough, I would say, threshold of black people got into him. Because at first he was just a, you know, artist for black people, underground, you know, like he wasn't mainstream. So... yeah, he needs to chill out.
Yeah, I mean, and my whole thing is, I mean, I just didn't understand his statement. I was like, it kind of came out of nowhere. And the first thing I thought was, I was like, well, I know there's a lot of rumors about him, about, you know, and it usually starts from the black community anyway. If we look at a dude who, you know, regardless of how women might look at Miguel, there's a large number of people who might look at him and say, like, I don't know, like, you know, his hair and all this other stuff going on. Like, naturally, people speculate a lot of things. And we were having a discussion. He was like, well, he's a celebrity, and you know how the media does celebrity. I was like, well, that's kind of the trade-off. If you put yourself out there in front of millions of people, you got to know you're going to face scrutiny regardless.
True.
That happens.
Yeah.
You live in a world, we live in a society where it's legal for the paparazzi, if you're a celebrity, to follow you around all day. So you can, you know, you're going to face that kind of scrutiny. You're going to have people are watching you, like, 24/7 almost. People can, you know, have access to you in a lot of ways. If you do a concert, you know, any wrong move, you know, they're expecting to see you do something. If you have a bad note or you have an off night singing, then that's going to get spread around too. Like, oh, Miguel sucked tonight. He didn't sound good. His performance sucked. If you're on the awards and you leg drop somebody, you do all the stuff like that. That's going to happen. I think that's initially what started those two things.
That, yeah.
There's rumors that he's gay and in the leg drop thing. I think those are things that annoy him. I'm like, but you're a successful artist. That happens. If these rumors are not true, you got to know that everybody goes through that who becomes a popular celebrity. Those, you know, that a lot of people, that's just a way for them to hate on you when you get successful.
And
then on top of that,
what I love when people do is, by making generalizations, they're making generalizations about the people who decided to say something, because most people who don't have a general comment or don't really feel ill, injured by whatever happened, most of the time those people are going to stay silent. So, like, if you heard about the leg drop thing and didn't really care, you was probably just like, whatever, kept
That's
your
true.
Life moving and didn't say nothing.
That's true.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
It's like, come on now. Like, you can't judge by who's going to say. The negative people are always going to come and say something, like, or make fun of you or just do something. And, like, you know, it's gonna seem way more out of proportion than it really is. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I just didn't understand his whole statement today, and I wanted to, you know, like, I've had dialogue with, you know, every popular celebrity, I think, at least, you know, in the black community, whether it's, like, the Knife Wonders or, like, Lupe Fiascos or Scarface, Erykah Badu, like, I have consistent conversation with these people, whether, like, on my timeline on Twitter or by DM, since most of them we follow each other. And I enjoy having conversations with these people because, to me, for one, you know, it lets me know that, for one, that these people acknowledge who I am. And that's always fun to me to see that. And then on top of that, you know, I can actually get to see, outside of the images they portray on TV to everybody else, I get to at least get an idea of what's in their mind and understand that psychological. Because a lot of, like, I'm very open with going at celebrities, you know, because I do feel like the mainstream media perpetrates a lot of things, in the, you know, especially the celebrity worship that goes on. So
yeah.
With a lot of stuff like that,
yeah,
I try to break through to that, you know. If I'm talking to a Scarface and we're just talking about, you know, like, we talk about golf or something, and we just talk, like, I don't care about who you are as a hip hop legend or what your status is. Like, I'm just looking at you like you're just a regular person, you know. And we all need that kind of connection with everybody in the world. That's when we talk about unity. That's a part of it. It's just connecting on a genuine level. Not, oh, you know, I'm not gonna hit you up and say, let's do a record. You know, I could use that ace if I felt like it, but I'm not gonna do that. Like, let's actually talk to each other. Like, let me see what your mind is, so I know what side you're on, because there's still a war going on. It's just all mental. So in the mental war, I want to know what side you're on, and that's what I actually get out of talking to a lot of these, you know, quote unquote celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to see where their head's at, because the stuff they might not say in public, you know, they can say in private conversations with certain people. And you know, that's always interesting to me. And for somebody like Miguel, I was hoping, like, maybe we can get a dialogue and see what this guy's head's at, you know, like I've done with a lot of different people. And when he didn't respond to anybody. And I was like, that's a cop-out. It's like, that's kind of like, you know, like, if you felt that strongly about it, you could just kept it to yourself. You broadcasting it to millions of people, like, at least have a dialogue about it. Like, at least have a conversation. These are issues that do need to be discussed in some way. So I I didn't understand it at all.
All right. Well, we got 60 seconds left on the live stream, so we're about to go off air. So I guess that wraps it up for today and tonight. It was definitely a pleasure having you on, True God. Is there any last things you want to say, Shira?
Is your name Shira?
I'm good. No, I am good. I appreciate the time.
No, it's Shira. I said, is there any last things you want to say, Shira?
No. I appreciate the time. I'm good. Thank you.
I didn't hear the name. I didn't hear the name that you put out. That was my fault.
Exactly. No, it's all good. So, you seem like you have one last thing to say. So, do you have any one last thing to say, True Guy?
No, I just wanted to say thank you for having me on, my fellow Gemini. So, I just appreciate you having me on. So.
Definitely. All right, so thank you, everybody, for calling in, tuning in. We're now, like, offline and everything, so it's all good. All right, so peace, and thank you for spending this time with us, True God, and thank you for taking the time out to co-host with me, Shiva. Love you.
All right,
love both of you, and thank you for spending the time. All right. You have been listening into Conversations with the Queen. We do air every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. You can come back next week. We will have an artist by the name of Tebby Zalango on. And I hope you all enjoy your evening. This is a track called Closer to My Dreams. All right. Peace.
Getting high.